It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, June 2nd. I'm Patricia Naft. Former San Miguel County Commissioner Elaine Fisher died Monday after a 2.5-year battle with ovarian cancer. She was 62 years old. Fisher resigned from the Board of Commissioners last month, citing health issues. She was a well-known figure in the Telluride community in addition to serving as a county commissioner for 4 terms. She was also on the Telluride Town Council and later became mayor. In late May, Amy Levesque was selected to fill Fisher's seat as an interim District 1 commissioner. They met nearly 3 decades ago. Levesque tells Cotto about their friendship.
Lane was very down to earth. She was not somebody who had airs or, you know, felt that she needed to kind of convey a certain way of being. She was just a very genuine person. You know, that's kind of the basis of our friendship.
Those who knew Fisher say she'll be remembered for her public service and talent as an artist. The Montrose County School District recently received a grant to build a new middle school, but the money will only go to use if the voters chip in. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Columbine Middle School was built in the 1960s, and according to District Superintendent Steve Scheel, it needs to be replaced. The recent grant would help with that.
It's an excellent opportunity for our community to be able to build a new middle school at only 2/3 the cost, so it's about a 33% discount on the project.
Scheel says that the school is safe, but it's worn out, only a matter of time before they won't be able to use the building. With $12 million from the state, they hope to build another one. Whether or not that happens depends on the voters.
The board will be meeting and to just talk about, you know, okay, now where do we go from here? What is going to be our next step? The board will have to make adopt and pass resolutions in June, moving forward to have a referendum put on the ballot this coming November.
If the voters approve the tax increase, which would be somewhere around $20 million, the new school can be built. But if they deny it, the grant money goes away, and the school district and the taxpayers may be on the hook for the whole $33 million or more down the road. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Sharing Ministries Food Bank broke ground on its new facility in Montrose Tuesday. The new warehouse will triple the organization's capacity. It has a price tag of nearly $1.6 million. Construction is funded through grants and donations. KVNF's Laura Pomisano recently spoke with Anita Doyle, the executive director of Sharing Ministries. She says the expansion is necessary to keep up with growing demand.
In the past 5 years, we've seen a 92% increase in the amount of people needing food assistance. And we are a supplemental program. We don't help them on a daily basis, but we do help them once per month. And there is a great need here in our community.
So what are your clients telling you about their needs?
The housing has gone up here in the area. The food costs have gone up. The cost of living all the way around has gone up. The wages are not. The jobs are not we don't see them as frequently as we would like. And so this little bit of supplemental help that we help these families with may help them to buy a tank of gas to get to work or help them with their child care. A lot of people make just enough on their paycheck that they don't get child care help, or they may not qualify for food stamps, but they can't make it from check to check. We've seen in the last 5 years, unfortunately, a lot of our donors in the past are now coming through our front doors. It's not because they're not working, they just can't make ends meet.
So you've seen demand increase, 92% you said, and now you're looking to move out of your facility. Can you talk about how the demand has driven that need?
Absolutely. We're in a 3,000 square foot facility right now, and all of our storage is food storage is on the outside of the building, so we're extremely labor intensive. We have no office space, no administrative offices. We don't have any public restrooms. We're not handicapped accessible the way that we should be. So we can go on and on and on. The last 5-6 years, this increase that we're seeing brings safety issues to our warehouse and to our volunteers. We need a place for the people who are coming through our doors to be able to walk in and not stand out in 10-degree weather or 110-degree weather and wait for 20 minutes to get into the door to be served. This facility will be utilized, I think, greatly in the community by other organizations also. And I just can't wait for it to happen. It's just an exciting time for us.
So in some of the other counties, you're based here in Montrose County. How do you get food out to somebody in Delta County or maybe somebody out in San Miguel or the way west end of Montrose?
We deliver, number one, to the different organizations, or they're allowed to come in and pick up from our organization here. We try to collaborate and work with every nonprofit organization that has that need. So if they can make it in, that's great. And it helps us a little bit on timing. And if not, we have drivers and vehicles.
What are some of the misconceptions you hear about the food bank?
Hunger is a silent thing. And we don't realize who may need that food. A lot of people think that we feed only the homeless. But we feed less than 3% of the customers that we have come through here are homeless. Most of them have jobs. They have always been donors in the past, or maybe they'll get help and then they'll come back and then they'll donate later on. We have lots of stories of people who are just struggling. A lot of seniors. We have about 30% of the people who come into our doors are special needs. They're either on crutches, wheelchair, a walker, they're getting disability and they just can't make it. I think there is a misconception out there that with the public that if someone is asking for help that they're not trying. And there's so many different reasons that people need the assistance. And I don't think that it should be something that is a humiliating experience for anyone. I think we all need a helping hand at one point or another in our life.
That was Anita Doyle with Sharing Ministries, speaking to KVNF's Laura Pomisano. A statewide campaign to make it more difficult to make changes to the Colorado Constitution kicked off Wednesday. As Benta Berkland reports, supporters say it will help reduce the influence of special interest in state politics.
About a dozen states allow citizen initiatives, and Colorado has one of the easiest state constitutions to change. A broad coalition from former and current elected officials in both parties, including the governor and Aurora Mayor Republican Steve Hogan, say the measure makes sense.
It has always been a problem that all somebody needed was enough money and enough time to go stand outside grocery stores in Denver to get signatures on petitions.
The initiative would require signatures from 2% of all voters in each of Colorado's 35 state Senate districts to get on the ballot. And the proposal would have to pass in the fall with 55% of the vote instead of a simple majority. Opponents worry it would restrict access to the ballot. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.